Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Music and Spinner.com, where you can get free MP3s, exclusive interviews, and more. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 230 for January 9th, 2010. Nerd Blink. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. Make your next meeting a GoToMeeting instead. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com/TWiT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get two free books. Go to Audible.com/TWiT2 and follow Audible on Twitter, user ID Audible_com. And by the new voice-activated Sync, featuring hands-free calling, music and podcast search, and turn-by-turn navigation. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRide.com. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show that covers all the technology news. And this week we are in the locus, the center, the epicenter, ground zero for technology news, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, 2010 edition. We want to thank all the folks who brought us down here, Ford and the marvelous Sync, Audible.com, Citrix and GoToMeeting. And, of course, I want to thank my staff for making this possible. They've been working their butts off. And here we are in Vegas with a great panel. Let me go around the horn and say first hello to Tom Merritt from CNET's Buzz Out Loud. Great to see you, Tom.
Good to see you, Leo.
Dressed all in black like Johnny Cash.
Yeah, trying to fade in.
I'm very impressed. Fading in? Is that what they call
it?
Yeah,
right,
is
that into, what the kids right, call right it? Into the... No, no one calls it that.
Just you. He's fading in, ladies and gentlemen. Also fading in, Ms. Molly Wood.
Hello.
From CNET's Buzz Out Loud. Molly is... There we go.
I am. Oh,
finally got a camera.
I'm here.
She's somewhere out there.
I'm just tucked in here, fading in.
You got the distant camera.
I know.
It's good to see you.
Thank you. It's
good
to be
here. I got
to
do Buzz Out Loud with you guys on Thursday.
Yeah, thanks
that
for coming
trip.
Up. That was a treat.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. You made some announcements, best of CES announcements as well, didn't you, Jim and Molly?
Yeah.
But there, he's pulling it out. The envelope, please.
Yes.
Oh, you guys don't have a laptop.
No.
So this is good.
I feel a little disconnected from the chat room.
This is awesome.
I know, I do miss the chat room, but other
than that,
I'm not
caring that anymore. So you can watch my chat room. Got a droid.
Yep.
And Tom has an iPhone.
I feel like we should have some sort of a browser race.
Go ahead.
Oh, I already pulled it up too.
We're too prepped.
You guys suck.
Yeah, no, because we prepare for your show.
Did you look at the Nexus One? Oh, no. See, that's something I don't do, so would you please stop it? It's really embarrassing.
Right. We don't prepare for our show, but we prepare. I did look at the Nexus One, actually. I got to play with it yesterday.
What do you think compared to the droid?
What I really want, desperately, I mean, aside from... It doesn't have a keyboard, so there's that. It's a beautiful piece of hardware. The really thing that I want desperately is the widget, the built-in Google weather and news widget. That's like the big addition in 2.1. I couldn't figure out what else they added in 2.1 that I would really want except for that one widget, which is just like super
But it's
useful.
Right on your desktop. It shows you not only the weather but the news?
Yeah, it's got like a news feed coming into it.
That's cool.
And
yeah.
it was so addictive. I mean, literally, I just saw a couple headlines and I would click that. I mean, it's probably terrible. I'm sure I'll crash the car.
Here's something that puzzled me. And I was talking to it. I was at an Android party, an Android event last. Oh, I'm sorry.
Tom laughed.
That was funny, Mom.
Thank you.
That's what I like. That was amusing.
That was funny.
That was hilarious.
That was quite amusing.
Veronica does that to me all the time.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Very funny.
Sorry.
What was I
saying?
I was at a party. I was at a party. So there you go. Oh, there's more.
Wait
a
minute.
I was at an Android
You were out partying
party.
With the Nexus One.
One of the designers of the Nexus One was there.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him about multi-touch. And he said, well, actually, multi-touch is built into the Nexus One. It's built into the operating system. It's built into the hardware. You know where it's missing? The Google apps, like Maps, the Pictures app.
And why is that?
I don't know. But if they update it, you've got multi-touch.
Because Veronica's theory was that Eric Schmidt, coming from the Apple board, had made some pact with the devil that he wouldn't do multi-touch in the U.S. But it sounds...
No.
I thought that was my theory. Anyway, yeah, something like that.
No.
Or now it's Molly's.
Apparently, it's just a question of updating the apps, which they'll do soon.
So why didn't they have the apps as multi-touch before?
Because they have it in Europe on the Milestone, which is the droid.
I don't know if that's the case.
I think there's a little U.S. licensing
issue. People have told me they have it in Europe, but I don't know if that's... they have it in Europe in the same way that Nexus One has it, but it doesn't do it. Have you seen somebody do, anybody in our chat room in Europe, does the Milestone actually do multi-touch, or is it capable of multi-touch, which is what the Nexus One, and by the way,
well, the Droid is too. Yeah, it's perfectly capable. It's built in. I think that there was a little bit of a licensing thing in the U.S. And
no, that's not funny. Titus says, my girlfriend has multi-touch. I don't think that's what we're talking about.
No, different kind.
Inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
But you know, I thought it was certainly very hot, but it didn't make me regret buying my Droid.
No, and I guess if the Nexus One gets multi-touch, your Droid will get multi-touch.
I think so.
I don't think they're holding it back. What deal with who?
It doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense. They're not holding it back, and that's why I wonder if the Milestone really does, or maybe who did the Milestone? Motorola. That's the Droid version.
It's the Droid. Yeah.
Maybe Motorola in Europe did something. I don't know. Maybe they may modify the apps.
Have a different agreement or a different patent. Situation or something.
I'd like to know more.
I'm convinced that it's just a different licensing or patent situation, and it's okay in Europe. I don't know why it would be. That doesn't seem but I don't know.
But the multi-touch was one thing I was bothered with on the Nexus One. Otherwise, I really loved the phone. It works
really
well.
Beautiful.
It's easy to figure out
how to
do stuff.
Doesn't it make our Droid look like a Terminator?
I didn't feel bad about my Droid. I mean, that was the one good thing, is I thought the Nexus One was really neat and really pretty, but I didn't feel like I was missing a lot with the Droid. I mean, it didn't make me really like, because sometimes that'll
so
happen,
gorgeous,
you know, a new thing
so
will come
slick.
Out.
I did not like the on-screen keyboard, though.
I like my keyboard, exactly.
Let's get Jay up here, and Jay Adelson is here from dig.com, and ask him, because he probably does a lot of phones, and while he's getting set, let me do a commercial. This portion of This Week in Tech at CES is brought to you by Ford. When it's just been a long Ford commercial, Sync My Ride. Somebody in the chat room said, and I think it's an appropriate question, why would you have a sponsor on? But one thing about our CES coverage is very different from the coverage we do back in the cottage, is we've had product people on all the time. And we will have more product people on, not just because they're a sponsor, but because what is CES all about? But products. Normally, I do not have vendors on.
And kind of Ford this year. I mean, they own this show.
They owned this show. And you know, maybe it's not apparent because Ford's been a sponsor, and they're a sponsor of yours too, but it's not been apparent. But we aren't talking about Ford because they're a sponsor as much as because they really owned this show. It was a Ford show.
Yeah, let me talk about Google. You talk about Ford. Right. You talk about Intel.
Exactly.
I mean, all those are people making the news here.
Yeah. Let me do. Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about all of that in just a second. Let me do a little bit of a Ford Sync commercial, and then we'll be right back. This whole trip actually was brought to you by three sponsors: the folks at Citrix, the folks at Sync, and the folks at Audible.com. So we're going to mention all three in the show today and thank them profusely. Ford Sync is, as you just heard, the in-car, hands-free, Bluetooth media player stuff that is done so well in the new Ford cars. And you can find out more about it by going to the website, syncmyride.com. I don't think the new Ford MyTouch MyTouch? They rebranded it.
It's My Ford Touch.
My Ford and My Ford Touch.
Yeah.
Terrible. Sync is so much easier to remember. My Ford and
Sync
My Ford
Touch. Sync is part of My Ford and My Ford Touch.
That's what's even more confusing.
I know. It's just a mess.
Anyway, I don't know how much they have on the new, on the website page there, but you can read a lot of news about all of these new features. And it's just really exciting, the idea of connecting in your car at that level. So I invite you to go to syncmyride.com, learn more about it. And also, of course, the next time you're at a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury dealer, give it a try. Syncmyride.com. Or test it out at your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury dealer, Ford Sync. We appreciate their support. They brought us here. Jay, you're not here for work. You're here on vacation.
I'm totally on vacation. Completely.
Now, see, that's my dream come true, is to come to CES and not have to do anything.
Well, this is my first CES.
You've never been here?
I've sent people for years. I've never got to go.
Doesn't he look like Ringo Starr? I think Ringo's here.
I wish I was that cool.
If you do the accent, I think we're going to see it a lot.
I think honestly, he looks like a cooler Beetle than Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
Aww, that's so nice.
He's Herman from Herman's Hermits.
You know what? That would be also cooler than me.
No.
So anyway.
So this is cool. So you aren't here working. You've never been to CES, and you said, I want to check it out.
You know, the thing is, I've always been a gadget nerd my entire life. I mean, probably the king of the gadget nerds, but I've never been allowed to CES in what would be my native habitat, right? And I got here, and when my friends who are working here saw me, they're like, oh, well, you can't actually see all of CES. It's, like, too hard.
No,
I'm like,
there's
wrong.
Only 4 days, and there's 8,000.
I swear to you, I think I might have seen everything.
Finally.
Would you like a chair?
You know, it's like can, my knees are sore.
You must be can in we get terrible Jay pain chair? Right now.
I mean, he's this poor guy, he's just
no,
dying.
I'm like leaning.
You're in
so,
agony.
The reason Dame I brought you, the reason
awesome.
I brought
I
you in
thank
is
so
we
much.
Need you to help us with this Nexus One thing versus
okay.
Droid. Did you
sure.
see that? You must have seen it.
I did.
What, first of all, let's get this out on the table. What
sure.
do you carry?
I carry an iPhone today. Right. And by the way, that's novel because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, and by the way, you'll notice no skin. No, like listening
no
special things, no
you
cases.
You go bareback.
I go bareback.
Mayday.
That's OH. So, you know, for me, I couldn't use an iPhone for all since it came out because I was living in rural New York and it wasn't, there was no AT&T coverage. So yeah. I moved out to California thinking, hey, I can now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. You should have emailed
Welcome
me.
To
I totally
California.
Would have warned you about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And so it was a little tough. And I can tell you, right now, I'm investigating other phones to choose as
so
an alternative.
So did you look at a Nexus
it's
One?
A good time.
I looked at the Nexus One, and I think my first impression is I love Android. I love the operating system. I love the openness of that. I'm excited. It has enough apps for me. The one thing it doesn't have yet is Verizon or, you know, the CDMA Sprint style.
Well,
kind of,
coming right? this spring.
Right? So am I going to get that,
Nexus One
guys?
Coming this spring to Verizon.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
So that, I think, might, in fact, be my phone.
In the meantime, you could get one of these and just turn it on, and then you actually
right.
get data.
That you know,
He's
I,
got a Sprint or a Verizon MiFi.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
It is a good idea.
The Verizon MiFi has saved Tom's iPhone, I think.
It is.
Now, the question is, though, will the Android have Red Laser, one of my favorite apps of all time?
Isn't Red Laser great? Red Laser scans barcodes and tells you where you can get it cheaper.
That is
Android has
a barcode scanner.
Android invented the product.
But I don't know if it has.
No, it does it better than Red Laser. There are three products that do it, three applications that do it, all of them free. And the thing about Red Laser is it's a copy of those applications. ShopSavvy is the one I use for Big in Japan.
Oh, yeah. We're using ShopSavvy.
ShopSavvy is incredible.
Like a custom version for CNET, too, for electronics.
It's incredible. And the thing is, you couldn't do it on the iPhone until the 3GS because it didn't have an autofocus camera. But the G1 did from day one. So, in fact, that's a category that Android
owns. Well, then I
owns.
Should be fine. I should be fine with that.
Yeah.
All right. I'm all over it.
You'll
I'll
like ShopSavvy. I think it's...
She's that's showing me in real time.
I can download it now, too, because I'm on Verizon. I am such a douche.
You know, I had the BlackBerry for years. Leo, you know I was always a BlackBerry guy.
Yeah.
And I had to give it up.
That's kind of a telecom kind of a thing. You have to use
a
BlackBerry
bit,
if you're in telecom.
A little corporate-y.
Yeah, biz.
You know.
Yeah.
But do you think we're going to see even better Android phones throughout the course of the year?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Because Google has said we're going to roll out a ton of these things.
Well, that's exactly what they told me at this party, is that this is just the beginning. I said, and the other thing I asked him, which I kind of surprised me, is, well, if that's the case, why do you sell a unlocked version? You have to use this with T-Mobile anyway. You have to buy a T-Mobile account. Why would anybody pay $529 for an unlocked version
right.
versus $199 since you have to get a T-Mobile account?
Right.
Now, T-Mobile does offer a month-by-month account, so you can not lock in
mm-hmm.
on the T-Mobile
Well, that's
system.
Worth a lot, though.
That and apparently...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
What it tells me is that this is a phone for a narrow niche that's smart enough to know that, that's smart enough to say, I'll buy unlocked. He told me that by far the majority of buyers are buying unlocked,
wow.
not locked.
Uh-huh.
By far.
Well, there's
right.
not. There's also not any kind of upgrade path through T-Mobile. So anybody who's already on T-Mobile, they're not getting a discount. You know, like Verizon will give you a discount if you've been
See,
with them for a certain time.
I thought I had heard there was an upgrade option. Maybe it was only like a...
You can't buy it through T-Mobile.
It actually,
you have to buy it from Google.
You have to buy it from Google, which is why. So that and then people are having... There may be some kind of discount,
like
but they haven't
plan.
Figured out how to
right.
apply it. And then it's led to that big customer service meltdown with Google.
Yeah, it's not
See,
a good
yeah,
thing.
Let's talk about the customer service meltdown. Because the only complaint about the Nexus One to this point has been that Google is just unresponsive.
Right.
Well, to be fair, wasn't Apple struggling in its first few days? I mean, we were all impressed with how fast they replenished supply in the stores, but they had the whole store infrastructure.
To be honest, the experience of buying a Nexus One was far superior. I waited 6 hours in line for the first iPhone, and it was you know, a nightmare, and you're right, it was the servers were down. The Nexus One, I ordered it, came the next day, done.
Is that because you had the option to wait in line, though? If you've been forced to buy it on Apple's website... Would it have been an equivalent experience?
Now, the other difference is the iPhone you have to activate through iTunes, and I think that's ultimately
that's
funky
terrible.
And stupid.
That's where they had support issues was when that went wrong.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, if I
At
can
least
choose...
At least there was someone to call, though.
Well, right. But if I can choose my my provider, then a certain amount of customer service experience is not going to be Google's fault. It's going to be who I choose might be, you know, good or bad, so...
And people who had never used the beautiful T-Mobile also complained just a tiny bit about
T-Mobile. I've never
T-Mobile.
Used T-Mobile.
I've used T-Mobile for a long
yeah.
time.
I
had
they
BlackBerry.
Were good.
I had an right now it's running my N900, but as soon as I get home, it's going to.
Did you ever have a Sidekick?
Yeah. I did. I had a T-Mobile Sidekick. I forgot all about that. That actually was a pretty good.
That was pretty hip.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a great way to meet chicks.
It was my first time I ever saw a phone. I went, that is targeting the teenage demo for a phone.
Right.
And I was like, wait, teenagers have phones? Is that allowed? I guess so.
We Paris first, Hilton, we actually gave Sidekick the best of CES. Remember, Tom? That
yes.
was that
oh,
when we were back
right.
at Tech TV.
That's right.
It was still the
was
danger
the
communicator.
Yeah.
And we liked it because when you went flip, it did the Star Trek sound, which they had to take out because Paramount would have sued the pants off of them. Actually, speaking of lawsuits, apparently Philip K. Dick's family
right.
is threatening to sue Google over the, name, Nexus.
The Nexus One, because it's in Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Nexus 6. That's
right.
that's the Android. That's
yeah,
dreaming
but
of
but
the
it's
electric
Nexus
sheep.
6.
But I think there might
but there
be,
is a
there
Nexus.
Be
there's
a
reference
of
to Nexus because the previous
yeah.
there was Nexus.
Presumably
1, 2,
there was
3,
a 2, 3,
4.
And 4.
Yeah, right.
Maybe even a
but
5.
But isn't there a point?
Unless they use Microsoft numbering.
Isn't there a point where just shut up?
Yeah,
really.
I mean,
it's a cool name.
Well, now, do you think they'd be okay and not like charging? I mean, not trying to license.
You know what? I think that they looked at the Droid advertisements that said Droid is a registered trademark of Lucasfilm Limited, and they said, "Hey," and little dollar signs appeared in front of their eyes, and they said, "Well, why don't we get a license for Nexus? Because really, it's a tribute to Philip K. Dick. It's an Android operating
exactly.
system. Of course, they call it Nexus." Right.
There's not a confusion
but
here. Nobody's not going to buy "Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep"
right.
because there exists a phone
also,
called the Nexus
I don't think,
6
and
or the
I,
Nexus
you know,
1.
This is out on a legal limb, but I don't think copyright allows you to essentially claim. Does it allow you to claim every word that is in a book? I mean, really, like if you invented a name for something in a book,
you invented a name.
Right.
It's different.
A name?
Just using a word, yeah.
Well,
it seems
you know,
a little. I don't know.
Pretty,
it seems a little fuzzy to me.
It's pretty common for the for like somebody like Lucasfilm or whatever to try and protect trademarks when the only reason they're doing it is because they have a trademark that is necessary. I don't think Nexus One kind of fits that. It's
I think I think LucasArts can make a claim. Hey, we're out there merchandising things. We make electronics. We put these things out there, so this could hurt our business.
Right.
I don't see the Dick Estate doing that.
No,
I don't see them
out
there marketing.
You say Dick Estate.
Me too.
We all
want
I knew you'd all love it.
Oh, we're all just children.
So I know it's so sad.
I love us.
Oh, but you know one more thing. Zenny Jardin from Boing Boing had a great thread going on the day of the Nexus One with people making quotes from Blade Runner and
cool.
playing off it with Nexus One things about the phone and how it worked, and that was great stuff for the Philip K. Dick Estate.
I'm sure they sold a lot of books as a result.
They,
so let's
they
not
may
get
have.
Greedy,
yeah.
Dick Estate.
Don't get
and
there we go.
Make sure those words are in the right
and fade to black.
Molly, awesome. You're getting into it. You're looking for the title already. I like
do.
That.
I like that for the title. That's my
nominee that's
for
our
so
nominee.
Far.
We're going to keep working on it though. 3D televisions were a big story here.
Yep.
Did
really.
You,
I hadn't heard much about
that.
I totally missed that.
I was surprised by some things I saw.
You
with
liked
the 3D
it.
Televisions.
Pleasantly.
Well, first of all, I thought I'd hate it. So I had low expectations, right? And I went in and I did think that the quality of what I was seeing was actually, you know, consistent with what I saw in a movie theater. But the thing that really got me was when you combined it with the gesture control with the cell.
Yeah, that was
At Toshiba.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, you thought that was cool?
Well, I knew it was out there for a while and they never gave it to us.
Yeah,
so,
but there's a good reason. Did you go through a couple of those demos? Only about half the time was she able to get it to do what she wanted it to do.
Really?
She had a very good patter. So the idea is it looks like Natal where she's waving her
right.
hands and there's this 3D globe on the screen and she's spinning it like Minority Report and spinning it left. But then frequently she'd say things, well, let's just take a tour through the content. It was clear that the globe had a mind of its own. Or
well, but can't they fix that?
Yeah, but it's demo.
You know?
Well, that's the
do
thing.
Do you really
CES.
Want that?
Well, here's the thing. Right now,
question,
controls too. Are the big problem with all these machines that we put in our...
So maybe it should just be intuitive. They just go like this.
Well, either that... I mean, look, we all want voice recognition. We all want, you know, simple things. We all want all-in-one remotes. And nothing ever does the trick. So I just want them to try something else, and maybe I can get there.
That was one of the announcements Steve Ballmer made in his thrilling, gripping speech on Wednesday night.
My favorite part was the power outage.
Suspenseful.
After it was kind of like a rain
Goosebumps.
Delay.
Really?
Yeah. They practically
it was
had
a power
the guy,
outage.
It was
practically
like
had the guy
minutes.
With a tarp come and roll the tarps over the seats.
Over Ballmer's head.
Yeah.
At
and they
least
started
it wasn't
showing
dirt.
Hogan's
it was
Heroes
before.
Reruns. And then finally they started. And, the whole speech was reruns, basically. It was, this is what we're... But one thing he did say is Natal is coming this year.
That's the Microsoft gaming stuff
that
made Veronica look so silly going like this.
Well, it's going to make everybody look silly.
You know adorable.
What? I'm sorry, adorably silly.
It look, just try new things as often as possible.
Sure.
We get locked in a rut. I don't care if they're silly
Jay,
or embarrassing.
I love you. You're a refreshing breath of fresh air. Usually we're just a bunch of curmudgeons going, that sucks. What's next?
Well, I want more things that suck because if I get more things that suck, eventually I will get something awesome.
No, you're right. Let them try stuff.
Let them try.
That's the argument for the late adopter, right?
Right.
You always buy like 3-year-old technology. Everything works great. It's fast. It's perfect.
That's right.
So
LG introduced a motion remote that I thought was actually pretty cool.
It
was
similar. It works
like a Wii wand, so that when you want to get to different quadrants of the screen. And I thought this to me was the best sort of iteration because it doesn't have as many potential bugs. It's just like wave your hands in the air because you just kind of go like, okay, I want my cursor to be over here now.
That would work a little bit better.
But
even
really
the Wii,
cool.
Don't you find a little difficult to navigate with the Wii wand and get it to do what you want
it's
it to do?
It's hard to get it to get
it's
right
not very
to
precise.
That right place.
Well,
it's not super precise.
What about the Voodoo controller? Did you guys ever use that one? It's a handheld that it has a little bit of a motion component to it. I kind of like that.
Motion is okay. I'm going to give you that, Jay. It's okay. Let them keep working on it. It's early days yet. This one had a camera. The Toshiba had a camera aimed at you. Part of what they were showing off, though, was the fact that this is a TV with 8 3.2 gigahertz processors in it, the IBM cell processor, which IBM has canceled, by the way. So,
really?
Yeah. So it's kind of
that $11,000 TV is technically obsolete, which is weird.
That's like when the people planning CES 6 months ago kind of get there and go, do you think people are going to remember that?
And it had the 2D to 3D conversion.
Definitely no.
They had up conversion, 2D to 3D. They also had up conversion of 2K to 4K, which didn't look all that good.
In fact, the 2D to 3D didn't look great, but it was an interesting idea.
I actually talked to a guy who's a graphics expert about how do they do that, and he said, you know, the only way you can do it is with edge detection. If stuff is soft focus, if there's a shallow depth of field and stuff is out of focus, well, you presume that's in the background. Of course, that's not going to work if the focal point is in the middle and there's stuff in the foreground out of focus. It's going to push it to the back. Mm. So it's going to have some weird effects.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know. I personally, it gave me a headache after a certain amount of time. And my big issue, you know, with all of the 3D stuff, I'll just be honest with you. You're sitting and watching this great football game, having that immersive experience, and you turn to your buddy, and he's wearing those glasses.
I know.
I mean,
that's why you got to get the gunners.
And so are you.
Yeah, and you know, it's not going to be
and
like
your buddy's looking back at you,
love.
Going like, "Man, your nose looks hilarious right now."
We both look like idiots, and yet at least no one can see us looking like idiots because we're in the privacy of our own.
Well, they're already getting the stylish glasses.
No, I don't care how stylish they are. You're still wearing dorky glasses,
and they have
how
batteries.
Many pairs of those. And they have batteries.
What's
going to
happen when the battery wears out and it's like some funky, weird battery, and then you're sitting there in your house wondering, okay, do I recharge?
Well, you buy new glasses.
Plus, those batteries are going to explode like the laptop ones.
I'm just saying.
On your head.
Scalp burns.
Into your eye.
I presume that you could flip a switch and turn off the 3D and watch it in 2D. I mean,
that's a good point.
These TVs got to be able to do 2D too, right?
Yeah, of course they
will. Yeah. I'm not. I hate to say it, and I don't want to be the curmudgeon grouch about it, but I'm not wearing those glasses at home. I'm not doing it.
Right.
I want to lay on the couch and put my head on the pillow, and I am not going to keep 10 or 11 pairs of glasses around for when I want to have a party for the Super Bowl for the Academy Awards.
BYOG.
That'll be like a new box that you check on the e-bite. You know?
No,
don't
mark
forget
my
your
words.
Goggles.
Within a year, Oakley is going to have the Oakley... active shutter.
You're right, Gunner did this. Yeah,
I think by next year we're going to see them rolling out the 3D TVs that don't require glasses. I mean, I think then you're going to start.
Can't. There's no way.
They're starting to do displays that simulate 3D already.
You can't see from the side though. That's the big problem.
Yeah, but you kind of can't with 3D glasses either.
They have the display with the
shutter ones. You can.
Oh,
they have a display, but the
really
problem is if
ones?
You watch it longer than 3 minutes, you do vomit.
So
it's
that's
a
bummer. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's okay.
But you said you wanted new stuff that might suck.
Yeah. Well, that's true. It's good. It's good. It's a good technology for certain applications, but I just can't allow myself to get sick.
I'm not buying 3D. I just really think that what surprises me is that these big, smart companies are spending so much money
on
technology.
Wait a minute.
Avatar, come on. That was awesome.
I think Avatar would have been better in 2D. I would just as good in 2D.
Oh, I'm not sure.
You're just making things up now.
Did you just watch it in 2D and tell everyone
you
saw it
in 3D? No, I watched it
in
3D, and I kept saying, God, I wish this were in 2D. Seriously.
Really?
Don't you think?
I've heard people
now.
Say that. That it's exhausting. It's exhausting to sit there and have that sort of
it takes
stimulus
you out of the
overload.
Movie. It would have been trust me. Watch it at home when it comes out.
No,
on
wait,
DVD.
wait. But did you go to IMAX or regular?
Regular.
Okay, because I think the regular size film 3D for me was a better experience than my friends who went to see IMAX 3D.
Well, IMAX even takes you out of it more.
Right.
I saw IMAX 3D and loved it. Loved it. And
see, I was thinking maybe it's
better in IMAX.
A time
at the beginning, so. But when after I had watched it for 20 minutes, I was in. I had no problems.
Most importantly, I looked at my daughter and my son who were sitting next to me, and their minds were blown, and I was
totally
the coolest dad
it.
Ever.
It's a great movie. Would have been better in 2D. The Griff points out, remember in 1978, what was the big story of CES? Quadraphonic sound.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
We've been here, done that.
I actually think 3D is going to be in every TV. I think it's just going to be a
it's
thing that's in there,
in.
And you can not use it like you say or use it. It's not that much more expensive to make the TV do 3D.
Right.
And so I think that's why we're seeing it explode so fast. Because they're like, you know what? It's not
why
that
not?
Hard. Well, and it makes people want to buy our TV because it comes with 3D, even if they're not going to use it.
It's really just iterative. And then let's not forget that a couple of these manufacturers, let's not name names, LG, really, all they did was slap a slide into their press conference PowerPoints that basically said, and also, we are also going to do the 3D this year.
Right,
because
right.
they had, I mean, because all of a sudden they kind of got wind of the fact that 3D was going to be the big thing at the show. And Panasonic is the only one with a ship date.
You know who did something right. stupid? It's Sharp. Sharp announced red, green, blue, yellow TVs.
No.
Red, That's
green,
adorable.
Blue, yellow TVs.
Not CMYK?
No, oh. red, green, blue, yellow TVs. And they kept showing yellow tubas that looked, well, yellow.
Yeah.
there's a real problem. I mean, what like it did is it enhanced the color space. But I was talking to our home theater expert. He said, yeah, you have a broader color gamut, but you don't want a broader color gamut. There's an established, defined color gamut for television. And you want to stick to the standard. You don't want to invent some standard. It doesn't make you want accurate color reproduction, and adding a fourth channel does nothing. So that was a very strange move. I mean, let's put it this way: they're completely capable of doing something stupid, even if they do it in concert.
Oh, totally.
So just like I said, the more stupidity
is better.
Well, eventually somebody's going to hit the ball out of the park.
Jay Adelson, ladies and gentlemen, more stupidity is better. Let's take a break. I do want to talk about the best of CES, so
we'll get there.
We'll get there right after this word from the folks at Citrix who do the GoToMeeting product. GoToMeeting actually would have saved us a lot of money. We should have just stayed at home and used GoToMeeting to go to ComDev. How long before CEX is done that way with internet meetings? The whole point of GoToMeeting is you do more, you travel less. You anytime you're on the phone with somebody and you've got a PowerPoint presentation, a spreadsheet, maybe some slides you want to show, and all you have to do is say, look, here's I want to show you this. Go to GoToMeeting.com, click join a meeting. Here's the meeting ID. Now they're seeing your computer on their screen. They're seeing that PowerPoint. They're seeing the spreadsheet, the slides, the websites. And it's engaging. It's dramatic. It makes you more effective. And it's a great way to have meetings. Best of all, it costs you a whole lot less than flying around the country to have your meetings. I want you to go to GoToMeeting.com/twit. Right now, GOTOmeeting.com/twit. You could sign up for 30 days free. I'm not selling you a pig in a poke. It's going to cost you nothing. You can at least try it out. Call your clients, your colleagues. Show the boss. Say, look, this is what do you think about this? Do you think this will save us money? You think we can get more done with this? I guarantee you, they'll say yes. Do more, travel less, easy to set up. Just take you a minute or two. GoToMeeting.com/twit. We thank them so much for their support of our travel down here. I think it's kind of ironic in a way that they paid for us to come all the way here when we could have just done it with GoToMeeting. So, CNET every year does the best of CES. You've been doing it. Actually, I think you guys took over for Tech TV,
we
right?
did. Well, G4 Tech TV did it for the last time in 2005, and then we took it over in 2006.
And we've been doing it a much better job, frankly, than even Tech TV did. That used to be fisticuffs in that room with trying to figure out what the best
right.
of CES.
Right, no, there's and no fisticuffs
it might be.
In our
we just
room.
Don't
let, me,
go. Yeah.
Let me just run through some of the winners in the Tech TV days. Well, there was the Danger Sidekick.
The Communicator.
And my favorite, the Moxie. Big winner.
Oh, right, I forgot about that.
I love Moxie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a great product. Never really went anywhere. In fact, just declared bankruptcy this year. So
that's CES in a nutshell, really.
It really is, isn't it? I mean, because you don't see all the products that are going to come out in the year. And there's things like Photokina and CTIA. So right. you don't see all the products in every category, mm-hmm. necessarily. And there's a lot of, I don't know, there's
so
a lot
the best
of fun
of
in
is
the
not
year.
Necessarily the best.
I'm kind
of it's the best of CES.
Not
it's not necessarily right. the best products of the year.
I do like the two that you picked. Let's start with the television. You took the Panasonic VT25 Plasma TV. Why did you guys pick that?
Well, the main reason is because, like I said, that's the only 3D TV with a ship date. I think in some ways.
Really? Are you kidding? Of all the TVs in here, none of them have ship dates?
I'm pretty sure that is going to be the first one.
There may be a few more, but most of them don't.
No, that's
stunning.
I think that's the only one.
They've all got, like, you know, summer and this and that. And Panasonic's got a firm date.
Soon?
And it's a really good TV.
It's a really good TV. The display looks very good.
We didn't give it because it has 3D. That's sort of a sideline. It's just, we love the TV. It's got internet connectivity.
I think it's
got a great picture.
I think a couple of things there. It's interesting that it's plasma, not LCD, because everybody's buying LCD these days.
Right.
And it's a lower power drawing plasma.
Much lower.
You know.
They've cut it in half.
Yeah.
Not and sure the internet connectivity really is a big deal.
No. Come on, Mr. IPTV. I'm
a big fan of being able to watch stuff, but I think that the software that drives my consumption is better with another
You like
product.
Roku or Boxy Box.
I'm
Did
a Boxy
you see the Boxy
guy.
Box?
I love Boxy.
Did you see the Boxy Box?
I did. I saw the box.
Do you kind of wish that it was just a box? I do.
Instead of a box with a corner cut off?
Yeah, like a little...
Okay, that's a little weird, but...
I don't know.
But it almost doesn't matter, because then I look at the TV, and it just... I'm
so for people who don't know...
Boxy's on it.
For people who don't know, what is Boxy?
Boxy?
Jay, go ahead. You're obviously a Boxy lover.
Well, first of all, Boxy, I believe, is based on the original Xbox Media Center.
XBMC.
It's
based on XBMC. That's right.
And it's a software program that you can either download and install yourself, or with this D-Link Boxy box... and have next to your television, and basically it makes internet video, everything, all the media on the internet consumable on your television. And it's, as far
including
as I'm
including Revision 3, including Twit, including all, you know, CNET, everything. It's all there.
They have applications that can be installed on Boxy. So, you know, you can actually have applications that, like Dig and Revision 3 and Twit, that allow you to consume it very easily. And as far as I'm concerned, the gracefulness of the UI is the key. And I've seen some really good UIs over the last couple of years. You know, I love the Vudu stuff, and I absolutely think that Roku... I mean, there's good stuff, but Boxy for me, and maybe it's because I'm a, you know, internet nerd, I thought was really great. Which I'm not going to... I don't think I'm going to get in the internet televisions... per your earlier report.
Well, I was talking to Boxy about that. I was like, you know, you've got this box, and you guys are talking about doing other boxes. Do you want to be on TVs? And they said, absolutely. We would like to make some deals with television manufacturers and get Boxy as an embedded system. So
if you buy
a TV and it comes with Boxy.
If that happens, then your internet television now, to me, makes sense.
Because you know what you're getting now, basically? Like, it's true. The VieraCast platform, right? That's the one that runs on Panasonic. And it does have some good connectivity options. But for the most part, it's kind of like the difference between VCast and iPhone OS.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very proprietary UI. It's a proprietary system. It's tightly controlled in terms of what widgets you get and what, you know, what actual programming you get. And Boxy gives you basically
opens it
all
up.
So you
web
prefer
video,
to Yahoo widgets or any of the other built-in TV. Yahoo widgets is another very common TV platform.
That's almost
it
like
is.
The thing
and it's
they
fairly
do.
Open.
Yeah.
But it's almost like that's the thing they do just to show that they have it. I mean,
right.
they're not going to stream all of the video from the web. They're
right.
not going to have that really sort of, like you said, elegant interface.
So Boxy, you can download, you can put it on your computer, you can run it on an Apple TV if you hack it. There's a lot of things you can do it, but they've now done a deal with D-Link to make a cube that has a corner cut off and sits funny.
Yeah.
And an HDMI port.
And it has the Boxy software.
Right.
It has an Ethernet port or Wi-Fi, 802.11n.
And it has a optical audio.
It's
too.
A little pricey. It's $200, right?
Yeah, you know, but when you compare that to the other boxes, set-top boxes, it's kind of in the range.
It's a little more than a Roku, though. Roku's
$129. Roku's $99 now.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Roku's pretty killer price.
Roku
right
is But Roku to Boxy, I mean, Roku is very utilitarian. Everybody should have a Roku, period.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's too cheap
it's
not
very
to.
It's too cheap not to have.
But Boxy's so elegant. And even the design is kind of elegant. I don't
know.
I think
also
this
the
Pop
Andy. Box from Popcorn,
right, Popcorn
Hour came
Hour,
out.
Yeah.
And they are starting to get... there's somebody to watch because they are getting as slick on the interface side as Boxy. And on the technology side, they've always been solid.
Okay, geek trivia. Where's the name Boxy come from?
Oh, I have
I
no
used
idea.
To know that.
It's the Android dog on Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, it's after Boxy.
It's after
I didn't
Boxy.
Know that.
In
I
fact,
didn't
that's
that.
Well, think of the logo. The Boxy logo is a little dog.
The
of
Daggett.
Of course,
Daggett.
That makes sense. Daggett,
oh.
Right? Very
yeah,
good.
Baby.
Wow,
right.
Well done.
Okay,
yeah.
No, the chat room told me that.
Where's
I
my
no
like just now?
If you go to the Boxy or to the D-Link booth or the NVIDIA booth, they're demoing it, and I noticed that they won't show like YouTube videos in the booth. because I guess they're worried about copyright.
Hulu shut Boxy down. There's a back and forth with Hulu. They don't want to be on Boxy.
Well, that, and
which
that
is again
the one drawback.
Typical Murdoch BS. This guy, they
no
don't
sense.
Get it.
I don't
they
get that.
Don't get it.
You can maybe still get Hulu you if you try.
Kinda.
Yeah, you Boxy. Might be able to. Yes.
It's a little bit of work, but it might be possible.
Yes, I would not condoning any.
No.
No.
No. No.
Although you can dig things. Did you notice? Just want to point out.
You can dig from Boxy?
Yeah. Oh, there's nice. A dig app, and you activate
that's
it.
Awesome.
You can actually dig the video
that's
when
smart.
It opens up.
Oh, really?
That's really
that's
smart. Well, Boxy already has good. Social media in it. I mean, that's really yeah. kind of part of the fun
you
of
can,
this.
You can Facebook share it.
Yeah. I think that's the future of everything. All right. So the VT25, I think we'll agree that's a great TV, and
sure.
I think a very good pick. It's a credible pick. And I might disagree
actually,
a little
Tom
bit with
and
Jay.
I thought the Boxy was robbed.
Oh, yeah, really? The Boxy should have won.
Yeah. Kind of did, yeah.
Boxy,
we don't
well,
know.
Maybe not best
so we
of
were like,
show,
mm.
but...
I don't know. Because Boxy wasn't in the same category as the TV.
It's a different... Yeah, it's a different
I don't know.
The TV is a little of a,
maybe
of
not
a mundane pick, that's though, true. Because there are a lot of great TVs.
Well, and I think it says something about CES that it's sort of a compromise pick where nothing at this show stood out. Like, the Palm Prix last year stood out and said, hey, this is something really revolutionary.
Right. And your computer hardware pick, though, did stand out, I thought, quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, the IdeaPad.
Yeah,
the
U1 from Lenovo, the IdeaPad U1.
And apparently our best in show voting was super close, and I think that it was between the IdeaPad and that TV, because that is just
well, they both, I think
so
they won
clever.
Each in their
like,
own category.
They each won their own category. Yeah. And way
tell
to
me
take,
about this.
Oh, Jay.
This is amazing.
You're
so
going to buy it right away.
It's a netbook, but then you actually can undock, so it's a netbook running Windows 7, and you can undock the display, and then the display becomes... just on the fly, like hot swappable, a Slate tablet running Linux.
Yeah.
And then
Blue Dog Linux tablet with a real simple interface for photos, video, web surfing.
Multi-touch interface.
Wow.
And then you redock it, and it syncs your browser, and then just switches back to Windows 7 on the fly.
Oh, that's pretty
and
sweet.
And also, it's
Core
gorgeous.
2 and Snapdragon, so it's good. I mean, and it's battery life 10 hours. A real 10 hours.
And it is beautiful.
The base
beautiful.
Continues to run when you pull the tablet out. So you can hook that up to a monitor and have two computers running at the same time.
Yes. Okay, like you can just have your little tablet over
for
here.
For the low price of?
Under $1,000 was all they would say. They wouldn't
not
give me a full
$9.99.
price.
Not cheap.
So, yeah.
And it's funny because it's the size of a netbook, but it's 3.5 pounds. So it actually feels a little heavy.
A little bit, but you know what? The fact that you could just pull that thing off was so magical. I loved it.
It's beautiful design.
That's the thing about true innovation in the
I feel like freaking
in the what's his name way where it felt like magic. Like it was so you know. You just
I like it when things actually work.
And the thing turns into another thing, and then you can touch it, and then put the thing back on the thing.
Because I was kind of skeptical until I actually picked it up and I pulled it out, and in like it was a flash. It flipped. The tablet started running. I was like, this actually runs. It's not just a concept.
I also like it that you even when you detach the top, there's still like this plexiglass shell.
And it's so
I think that's a nice touch.
It
actually,
it really is.
Then you don't have kind of a keyboard without a. It looks like you broke it.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
You know, I think this is very interesting. And also, by the way, the Snapdragon processor was everywhere. It's in everything, including
it's in
the new phone.
One, right?
That is an ARM processor, gigahertz ARM processor that has enough power that a lot of people are using it in CE devices. I think it's one of the big stories here is that high-powered chips are now becoming so easily widely available that you can see them in cars. You can see them in CE devices. And I think that transforms everything. You know, the voice recognition and sync is powered by Nuance, which does
right.
Dragon. And I asked them, and I said, "This is how do you do this in a car?" He said, "Well, because the cars practically are PCs now. They have enough horsepower in them. They have enough RAM in them that we can really do challenging applications like voice recognition."
The other one that almost won Best of Show and won in its category for card tech was my Ford Touch, which we talked about a lot
right.
earlier. But
yeah.
it was a real close contender.
I think this should have won. I don't know if you guys nominated it. This was a very interesting product.
There were
a lot of ebook readers out there. There's the Copia that you mentioned, which has social. It's kind of a Kindle with social networking. But this one, the Entourage Edge, looked a lot like that Courier video that was on Dig a while back. That was a Microsoft concept product. It was a two-page ebook reader. The left page, e-ink. The right page, a computer, and you could drag from one to the other. You could have a real computer on one side and a real e-book reader on the other side.
I found the e-book reader really laggy in the one that I tried.
Yeah, they made the prototypes they were showing around did not have the Snapdragon, the full Snapdragon,
and maybe
700 megahertz. So maybe it'll be faster. It's a couple of things that were interesting. First of all, it was a big e-book page, e-ink page. It was almost a 10-inch page. I thought that was kind of interesting. And they put a Wacom digitizer on top of it, so you could draw on it.
Although the drawing, again, was a little clunky.
They have to get the
speed. The drawing on the Plastic Logic Q, I thought, was the best that I tried.
Is it an e-ink screen as well?
It's an e-ink screen, and you don't have to use a stylus or anything. You just use your
So it's not an issue of e-ink. That's what I'm wondering. Is it a processor, or is it an e-ink?
It must be a processor thing. Because you were able to draw on the Plastic Logic pretty fast.
But can we get back to, though, the killer app of these things is reading books on them?
Right.
Well, just get a Kindle.
I think, too.
Well, that's right. I mean, because it has to feel like it goes away.
Kindle feels like a book. Yeah, and that's the whole point of the Kindle. This does not go away.
Given the reading factor, I find the spelling of that product unacceptable.
Oh, the Interkept TMDG.
That is... No.
Yeah. It's the entourage.
I actually think that I would not buy it because of that.
Product marketing fail.
I have issues.
That was in the portable media category, and this is part of the thing that as we evolve, right? There's not really MP3 players anymore. In fact, portable video players aren't really a big thing anymore.
No, why
so
would
the
you
e-books
get one?
Are in there, but the Tivit is the one that won the category.
Beat out the
Edge.
That was the Edge was a finalist. The Tivit is a little, a tiny little module, like about maybe four times the size of a credit card or something, that lets you do mobile DTV over Wi-Fi. So it's the receiver for mobile DTV.
Kind of like a sling catcher, or
it takes the broadcast mobile DTV, which is that separate broadcasting of digital television that they use for phones a lot.
Like the Flow TV.
It's similar to Flow TV,
and
then adds it to any device, including a phone or a portable
media. Oh,
that's
interesting.
Yeah, over
so
Wi-Fi.
That you can get 30-plus channels on your mobile phone and wherever
there's broadcast. Well, that's kind of what Flow's business model was, too. Flow sells a little tiny TV, but really they said that's just almost to prove that we can do it. Really, what we're really doing is reselling this 700 megahertz television connectivity where we rebroadcast real-time live sports and stuff, and you can get it on your phone, get it on other things. Is it VCast? Is it the same as...
Same kind of technology. I think it's just different people doing it.
Okay. And VCast was not using, I think, the DTV...
I don't think it's using
DTV
this,
broadcast.
The same one that Tivit is using, no. But the thing about Tivit that's cool is it adds it to everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. So TIVOT, am I spelling it?
TIVIT.
TIVIT. It's from a company called Valups, VALUPS.
And how much is it going to be?
I think.
It's a subscription thing, so it doesn't really matter how much it's going to be. It matters how much it's going to cost a month, right? And that's going to be the big issue.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, and it comes in colors.
Do you want to watch live TV on your mobile?
No.
Well, there are very rare occasions, and that's the problem
like
with the whole
Academy
product.
Like the Academy Awards, and you're stuck in the subway, and can't...
Or some game that you recorded on your DVR.
Hold on. I say no like that, but you know what? I don't want to watch, Lost on my... I'd rather... But
of
I might want to watch a live event. And I definitely watched...
I was watching
Blizzard, BlizzCon on my phone while I was walking the dog, because I had it on DirecTV and I was using Sling. So, yeah. And I've watched Twit on the Ustream app.
Well, yeah, we're on the mobile phone. I'm sure all the Revision 3 stuff is, too. So
they say $90 to $120. No, I don't think there will be a subscription.
No monthly.
Mm-mm.
Huh. Because
it's just a broadcast. This is basically an antenna.
Right.
I mean, it's just picking up a broadcast.
Oh, I get it.
So it's just a fancy antenna that goes in your pocket
has
built-in Wi-Fi.
Flow is a rebroadcast service,
right.
So you would have to pay a monthly fee because they're actually caching and rebroadcasting. But the advantage of Flow is they cache it. So you can lose connectivity, and it won't buffer. I mean, it's almost buffering in the phone.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting.
I don't know. I could see wanting to have, although you'd have to be a pretty big TV buff. But I could definitely see it for news. I mean, there's going to be those moments when you get a CNN breaking news alert. How cool would it be just to
Don't we want, Jay, as IPTV guys, don't we want to be everywhere? I mean, that's the idea. I'd like to be on the big screen, but I'd also like to be on the little screen.
Ooh,
but
I want my Tivit to work with my Ford Touch-enabled car.
Well, my thing is you want to be
on... But only when
on
you're pulled over, Mollywood.
You want to be on something that someone already has, in my opinion. Because asking people to carry more stuff is insane.
I know, that's a problem.
Or even buying a Tivit. I mean, it should just be part of that's part of the service.
See, that's
that
the problem
get
with the glasses, too.
Yeah.
More stuff.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah.
I could just see all those 3D glasses gathering dust underneath the TV.
The clutter factor alone makes me crazy.
And you got to buy more, because if you have a big family gathering, people come over and
you'll need
kids watch
size.
It. Yeah. No, it's not good.
And you need chargers.
Let's
I know. And then
the
your kid's going
to
break them. Like my toddler, come on.
Do I have this
I'm not
right,
letting
though,
him anywhere near those like fancy Panasonic charger jobbies.
The Tivit broadcasts over Wi-Fi to your device. So could you use more than one device on one Tivit?
It's the funniest
thing.
That's
what I wonder. Yeah. Could you
pair more than one device? No, it's this little tiny mini Wi-Fi.
right?
Okay, so it's no range.
Yeah, the Tivit is itself a station that it does a little bit of a zap over to your phone. It probably has like a 1 millimeter range. Okay. Otherwise, people would be cool watching your TV.
Yeah, because you just start up a TV station in your building.
You're listening to Twit, watching it too, I hope, at live.twit.tv with Molly Wood and Tom Merritt from CNET's Buzz Out Loud, Jay Adelson from Dig.com, and we're going to have more of the news from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas in just a little bit. But before we do that, I would like to mention my friends at Audible.com. Does anybody here listen to audiobooks? Anybody at all?
Yes.
Nobody. Yes?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes? Yes. Yeah. Good. All right. You know, I think it's interesting. Well, it's funny because when we first started doing this years ago, it wasn't, not that many people did it, but I think now all geeks do some audiobooks because we all have little devices that we can listen. I guess that kind of really confirms what we just said, that it's, you've got to work on the device you got, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the idea, to me, I would rather listen to an audiobook than watch television on my device because the picture that I see in my head is so much better than anything that I'm going to see, even on a big screen TV. And that's what I love about audiobooks. I read a lot. The other thing I love is that I have a busy life and I don't get as much reading time as I'd like. And if you are, in the car and you're not reading, or you're at the gym on the treadmill and you're, watching Oprah, it probably add up all those times when you can't hold a book. But you've got some time to spare. You're going to get 2 or 3 hours a day of reading. Imagine the world that will open up to you, all the books, all the things you've wanted to read, all the material you've wanted to keep up. And that's what Audible is so great for. Audible, audible.com, 65,000 titles, radio shows, comedy performances, as well as books. And books in every category, fiction and nonfiction and home improvement and self-help and science fiction, the best collection of science fiction ever. I know Sword and Laser, you always are recommending, when it's possible, an Audible version of the book. Because, again, who has time to read? But we always have time to listen. Audible.com/twit2 is the URL if you'd like to sign up for the Platinum account and get 2 free books. Audible.com/twit2. The Platinum account is 2 books a month. It's the subscription plan I have. I easily go through 2 books a month. In fact, I know people, I've talked to people who have long commutes that have 2 or 3 Platinum accounts because they go through 2, 4, 6 books a month. Two's a good one to start with. 2 books a month. First 2 books are yours, absolutely free. You can cancel at any time, and you get to keep those books. So there's no cost, no obligation to you. Go to audible.com/twit2 and sign up for Audible today. I think you're going to thank me for it later. It really is a great way. And I think a lot of geeks are doing Audible. I really do. I think it's become the kind of the in-fashion thing to do is listen to audiobooks. Because, we all listen to podcasts. It's kind of...
You know what's interesting about audiobooks that I like is that you know exactly how long it's going to take you to finish the book.
That's a good point. I never thought of that.
You could say, I need to finish this by Tuesday for a discussion or whatever. You can schedule the time.
David Foster Wallace, Infinite Jest, has taken me 15 years to read. some books just take longer than others, but in Audible, hey.
See, I'm reading that on my Kindle, which I find vaguely encouraging because it's like, you're 30% of the way there.
Those
dots. I don't have to look at page numbers. I'm like, 30% sounds like a lot.
That sounds good. That's right. Yeah. No, it works for me. I've read 10 times as much since I stopped being intimidated by the size of books.
That's a good point. The Kindle, they're all the same size.
And then someone gave me the physical copy just as a supplement to, and I thought I never would have picked this up.
Cryptonomicon,
the Baroque cycle.
There you go.
Don't even get me started.
We're not doing an ad at this point, but Cryptonomicon and Anathem are both on Audible and really good listens. Those books will engage you and pull you in. I loved Anathem. I thought that was such a good book.
I thought that was a wonderful book. I actually just pushed it on a friend of mine who normally doesn't read that kind of book, and she texted me yesterday, like, I love this book.
Well, it's so strange. This is the newest Neal Stephenson novel. He's got Snow Crash and the Baroque Cycle, which I never did finish.
I couldn't even get through the first one.
You loved it?
I finished it. I got
that's because you're...
he's that guy.
Educated.
That's because I have nothing, no life.
He likes books that are just about knowing things. Which is basically, as I can tell, that's all Quicksilver was about.
It's interesting. It's interesting stuff. That stuff takes you someplace. It takes you someplace.
I loved, though, Anathem. And what's funny is it's at first it's a science fiction book, and then it's a book about monks, and then it just goes all over the place. But it engages you. He makes up a new language, and you have to figure out what they're talking about, but it somehow resonates. He is a master.
I loved the sense of scale in that book. The idea that humanity had progressed 5,000 years and that, societies had come and gone. It was just sort of this really perspective-inducing read.
Do you know what just came out? It's probably not on Audible yet, is Daniel Suarez Freedom. It's the sequel to Demon, which I know Demon's on Audible, but
I don't know either book.
Oh, Demon is great.
You've got to read Demon.
Oh, I never heard of it. What's it about?
D-A-E-M-O-N. A guy who owned an online gaming company dies, and a demon goes off and starts investigating his death.
And a demon?
Yeah, like, you know, D-A-E-M-O-N.
A daemon.
Not just investigating his death, though, wreaking all kinds of havoc. It's almost like a giant booby trap.
So it's like some weird kind of universe where demons exist.
No. It's an internet. It's a computer.
Oh, an internet
daemon.
Yeah,
computer daemon.
D-A-E-M-O-N.
So it starts using the network to investigate his death and start taking revenge and then start setting up a dark net.
I got to find out more about this.
Oh, it's fantastic.
This sounds exciting. I don't know what I've walked into.
Well, weirdly, you would seem to have walked into a book group. I'm not sure what happened. It was a tech podcast.
It was.
And now it's
book. Dr. Kiki is here. She's been out on the show floor all day.
I have. It's been so great. So exciting.
You know, for people who are just watching listening to Twit and didn't know, we've been at CES, for all 4 days of CES and doing kind of weird, wacky stuff. We've been streaming live. We've been recording all the shows here. And Dr. Kiki's been here as co-host, but she's also, we got this crazy wireless rig that Colleen built.
That is so impressive.
It's pretty awesome.
So blown away
she's
by
amazing.
Colleen.
Yeah. Colleen's amazing. And it uses EVDO, and it's just, but you weren't doing streaming, you were just recording, but
today,
we were using it to stream.
Yeah, yesterday we were doing live streaming from the show floor, running all around South Hall, upstairs South Hall, Center Hall. Today it's just been to tape, so no live stuff.
But we'll get all of that out on the feed in the next couple of days. You'll see more and more stuff. So if you go to twit.tv/CES, all of our coverage will be there. And I think our goal was, it's funny, I used to say this when we were at Tech TV, is to do a virtual trade show, but we were so tied to the form and the big lights and the big cameras and the stage that we couldn't really do what you do at a trade show. And this wireless rig has let us walk around, go to parties.
It's been great. I've been running around and we weave through the crowd and come up and interview people on the spot. And
you really feel
it's
like the listeners are actually at the show with you.
That was the real experience without the foot pain. Yeah.
The sweat.
Without the agony. At home, you can put your feet up and rest and relax, but here we are getting sore feet.
Yeah, we sure
are.
For
you.
That's right. For you.
Actually, here, I'm going to go a step further. No pun intended. We're getting permanent nerve damage for you.
Yeah.
Some years after CES, my little toe will be numb for like months.
Oh,
Where did it go?
Tom and I were talking about this because every year you forget. It's like childbirth. Otherwise, you'd never repeat it.
Yeah.
Every year, you forget how awful it was, and you go back and with the highest of hopes, like, "Oh, I'm going to go see a show."
But you know what it is?
I don't know.
Sleep deprivation causes long-term memory loss.
Yes.
No, it does. That makes perfect sense.
That's actually really. I think that really is why you forget childbirth. It doesn't have anything to do with the pain.
You're just tired.
You're so tired.
It also explains why fathers are supportive. You know, because they're not obviously they're losing sleep too, right?
Yeah, totally.
So, well, anyway.
Otherwise, they would bolt.
I don't know how we got it to turning CES into childbirth.
We went from book group to mom's group.
And dad's group.
And dad's group.
And let me tell you about the shoes I'm wearing.
Group.
Let's talk about shoes. Yeah. So did you see anything today, Kiki, that was interesting?
Oh, I saw all sorts of things. A couple of my favorite things today, the Panasonic booth. I always love the earthquake booth behind us, but
which I don't know. You know, you may hear it on the audio podcast. I think it's rolling off on the video stream because it's about 20 hertz. I mean, it's as low as you can get. It's all about.
But we're all getting a good massage from it, though.
So great foot massage.
It's like a little hello.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
The Panasonic booth has a great eco section, and that was something that I went through and took a look at their home fuel cell and their solar technology, their home energy management system that they've developed so that you know where you're using electricity and how you're losing it in various ways, how you're using it so that you can better and more effectively use your energy and lower your energy costs. So that's something that's really cool. All so far, though, it's only available in Japan, so we just have to wait for them to bring it over here. And then there's a Fujifilm little 3D camera, handheld digital camera, 3D, 2D capability.
It now I can make my own 3D movies.
It does still and video photography, and you can. The trick is it has these two lenses that are eye distance apart. So
that's what you need.
It has a stereoscopic.
That's cool.
Oh yeah, last year at iStage there was that 3D webcam. I can't remember what it was called, but it had the two little eyeballs. Just cute as heck.
It's cute.
Yeah. I'm gonna feel so left out if everything goes 3D.
It's okay. Don't worry.
You and me, Molly, we'll be the old farts that go, I want 2D. You got a 2D movie.
I want 1D.
1D.
Yeah, that's harder.
Flatland.
That's,
yeah.
That's audio. Though,
my line right? in the sand is I'm not doing it until I get ocular implants. There
that's right. Get yes. the implants. The chip.
That's the way to go.
That's the chip.
Yep, I'm holding out for
that's
the
coming 8-bit. We're
new
going
eyeballs.
Up.
I mean, that's the thing. We all report on this, the advancements in technology and where this next step is, and we see what's coming. But, you know, we're used to watching things in 2D. You know, our kid, and that's what we grew up with. Is it that kids of tomorrow are going to grow up with 3D and they're in watching it?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they'll be used to, and so that'll just be the thing. And then when video or images go a different direction, will they be the old farts who are going, when I was a kid, this 3D thing's never going to happen? You know, is it just a generational thing?
I don't know. I say bring it on. Bring it all on.
Jay is so open.
Bring it on.
So open-minded.
I'm actually with you on the 3D part of it.
Can I tell you, though? So here's. So I went to a demo of, I saw the Dolby, you know, 3D, and I saw the real 3D, and I got both those demos. And in both cases, part of what they showed you was not the things filmed for 3D effects, just regular old stuff, like a football game,
whatever.
I think
sports is really the killer app.
It really is.
And looking at that stuff, I said to myself, well, I'm not aware of it. It just feels right. like I'm standing next right. to the field.
Right.
Then, suddenly, 3D isn't really a big change for you. It's really just feels more normal than 2D. At which right. point, if it's done really well, Excellent. Unfortunately,
and I think
yeah,
that's
you put
the
on
idea.
Those stupid glasses.
Yeah.
I just keep coming back to that. I know it seems like a small thing, but it is actually the
you
thing.
Know,
like,
for years, I wouldn't bowl because you had to rent the shoes. It's the same basic principle.
Wow! Like,
right, you know, they probably are going to come out with a lot of
You can buy your own shoes.
Sweetie, really?
I'm just going to point out, you could have bought your own shoes.
That's too much of a commitment.
And you could bring
I'm sorry.
Them.
That's too
I
much
can picture you with the bowling bag and the whole thing.
No.
But sometimes
what, Ralph crammed in here.
Hey, it's awesome. Midwest, where I'm from, that's what you do.
Nobody
you bowl.
Messes with the Jesus.
That's right.
Oh yeah. Oh that's yeah. Right. I have best. To grow my little pinky finger out. I just, by the way, added Freedom and Damon to my Audible. My
oh,
next
is Freedom available too?
Yeah Freedom just came out 2 days ago.
Awesome.
We're actually going to interview Daniel on Sword and Laser next week.
I'll be listening. And, yeah. and is Freedom as good as
I'm
Damon?
About three-quarters of the way through Freedom, group. And it's awesome.
Back to book group. But no, I want to make those my Audible picks. We do get two books if you go to audible.com/twit2. So now you can make those your two picks. We could do a Daniel Suarez marathon.
Hot.
You know, I'm excited.
So I have a question. You know, I think there should be a most curious and weird. Like,
all right. Mm-hmm. I got one that was curious and weird. Oh. It is a Bluetooth ring called the Orb, and and you put it on your finger.
I saw it.
You do?
Oh, my. And it's the caller ID.
It's the caller ID. It goes on an OLED
on
screen across it. It says,
an
Jay's
OLED,
calling.
An OLED screen.
OLED screen. Oh, you could push a button that sends a text that says, I'm busy, call back later. Or you take off the ring, you unfold it, you put it over your ear, and it's your Bluetooth headset.
Oh,
that's what we're
stop
talking about
that right now.
Okay, that's curious and weird, but almost
winner,
useful.
Winner, chicken dinner. In
but that has a use. What? How do you explain USB cigarettes?
I love that. That was going to be mine. You
I'm
took
sorry,
mine.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm not mad because I'm so happy that you went there.
Is their slogan "Smoke 'em or mount 'em"? What is?
No,
burn
so,
through your data.
It's like I think the company's called. Ooh, nice. Isn't that?
I just couldn't figure out what the marketing gimmick was. I mean, I think it was generally quit smoking. But you actually smoke.
But it's an actual
it's
cigarette?
Anywhere. No, it's smoke. An electric cigarette.
It's an electric cigarette
it's
with a little charge in it.
Yeah, it's a vaporizer.
And you smoke and you blow smoke back out as you breathe it in.
My
the question is that healthy?
No, it's not a cigarette.
No, I think it's not.
It's a nicotine delivery system.
Right. But it's not healthy. I mean, you don't get tar. You don't have the tar buildup in the lungs, but you do get the nicotine.
You get the nicotine.
Kids, am I the only one that realizes the real purpose of this?
Is for kids?
It has nothing to do with tobacco. No, seriously, it's a vaporizer. What are you all looking at me funny for?
I get it.
We're waiting. I know.
No, but
I'm
you
waiting.
Can't put. You can't like load a joint on it or something.
You can't.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
you
can.
I don't think. Well, you
oh,
in
the
away,
charge,
right?
You put that instead.
Can, yeah,
see, that's
put
a
little
hack,
a little THC.
But they can't sell it as a.
That seems like a lot of work.
Well, Leo,
I'm just
I never.
Saying.
You know. You know, it's
why
funny.
Do you have to hack your electric cigarette
it.
Just
it
to get to the
occur
contract?
To me.
Of you, of all people, you look like Herman's Hermits.
You know what? You know what? I did just move to Marin.
Okay.
So.
Oh, yeah. You need one.
Go to your local head shop. Yeah. You'll find this year.
All right. Any other nominees for the weird product?
Auto ergonomic keyboard.
Oh, yes.
Auto ergonomic.
That was
it's
totally
a
keyboard
weird.
That actually moves like once an hour or so to change. It's an ergonomic keyboard, but it changes the position of your arms so that you're not. Because they're like, look, even
that's
with
good.
An ergonomic keyboard, you keep it, your arms so in the so same position. So this thing, once an hour, just kind of subtly moves it.
Yeah, if they really wanted to do it right, they'd change the keys around too once in a while. So just really
just
get it.
Stimulate the brain. Stimulate
that's
the brain.
Just masochistic.
What about that thing that you breathe on to control the games?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
The breath control.
What was that
called?
It's like a breath control.
Zyxel?
Zexorcist?
Really?
Zexorcist? I don't know.
You want to share that with anybody else?
You control it via breathing.
And you just kind of, you don't have to breathe very hard, but just kind of change the direction of your breathing and it moved the cursor
they
on
said
the
you,
screen.
Yeah, they say you breathe with your mind.
Coming next, tongue control.
I know,
oh.
Right?
Well, I saw the hand glove. The you know the game
the hand glove
the hand glove yeah, I saw the glove
you know
the
I saw the foot sock
the gaming glove is great
the head hat
isn't that right
you know but the gaming glove thank you
the gaming glove.
Okay, somebody tell me the name of this though because I feel bad wait I think I might know the name because they
it's
gave
in his pocket he's
no they
it
gave
out
away
his pocket.
They gave away it's Peregrine
the gaming glove
because they gave away did glove. You see this it's a vaporizer.
Oh, look at that.
I mean, not
really
vapor.
Smart.
It was interesting. That was a hand sanitizer.
Apparently,
the
big swag of the event wasn't, you know, the foam rubber paperweights or anything like that. It was hand sanitizer. They're handing
it was,
out the
totally.
It's, this will this go down as the...
This place is swine flu central.
The swine
I mean,
flu... Here, throw me some.
We're all going to die.
Okay. Anybody want to squirt?
I'm totally... I'm vaccinated.
I've been out and about the floor all day.
I don't care if I've been vaccinated.
We'll give you a little extra, too.
All right.
I have a 3-year-old. I've totally had it.
Purell's on us, ladies and gentlemen.
I am so clean now.
Oh, wow, yours smells
mine has
minty
a smell.
Fresh.
Hey, this is
no,
a lot of fun.
Does. Holy Hannah.
It smells like ooh. Alcohol.
You yes, know what? It does.
And all that's of our Vegas. Skin is going to be even drier now than it already was.
I know. If it was possible. And now it has, we
and
have
now
flying.
And now Dane is sanitized.
Now we're home of the flying Purell.
All
sorry,
right.
Dane.
I don't have anything that's like cute and weird, but I did... not cute. Cute is what I was thinking.
Weird would be good or cute
I don't have
fine.
Weird. I have cute. It was upstairs in South Hall, there was a company that had a little rhinestone-studded heart pendant that contains a 4-gig flash drive. So you just... So you can
Valentine's
carry,
Day.
You can carry your data in your heart.
It's the gift for all your those, nerd girlfriend.
All those love
it.
Emails.
I would love one.
Oh, it's nerd bling.
nerd bling.
That's adorable.
That is
offload
nice.
All
wow,
those text messages and save
nerd
them.
Nerd
to
bling. That's a blog, right?
That is
gotta
special.
Be. If it wasn't before, it is now.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Nerd
it's
bling.
Been a wonderful CES and a great twit from CES. I want to thank you all for being here. Tom Merritt and Molly Wood, it was practically a Buzz Out Loud show. It's great.
Know.
Great,
oh,
it great to have
thanks
you. You guys are so great. Buzz Out Loud is at cnet.com/live.
BOL.cnet.com or live.cnet.com live. For the live version.
That's great. And there's still more to come from CNET from CES.
God, no.
No, that's it.
No, you're done.
It's all up.
Are you going home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Home
oh, yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Now awesome. We start drinking, and then tomorrow we get on a plane.
Yes.
I couldn't
mostly
believe
drunk.
The CNET setup here was amazing. It had a jib camera. The best thing, though, was they had a special pen for the editors. All of
yeah.
the they had like a dozen video editors, and they were all penned up in this glass.
The editor
glass wall.
Aquarium.
Yeah.
You can watch what they're doing.
Poor thing.
Really cool.
It smells
watch
terrible
them surf
in there.
Facebook.
All that coverage will be at CNET.com or
none of them are
CES. CES.CNET.com is the home of all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Jay Adelson is the CEO of Dig.com.
Thank you very much for having me,
it's
Mr.
Great
Lepore.
To see you. I'm glad to see that you're on vacation and get to do this.
I'm so glad I finally got here.
It's
I'm
the best
so
way.
Glad.
The best
here.
Way
to first
do
time.
CES
you're
is here. To not work CES.
For
just
sure.
Enjoy
yeah,
well
yeah
done.
I just I
well
partied
done.
The whole time yeah. on the floor. It was
that's great.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
What's party? I don't know what that is.
Dr. Kiki Sanford is, of course, the host of This Week in Science, the great science radio show, and of our own podcast, Dr. Kiki's Science Hour, which is seen every Thursday at live.twit.tv at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and you can subscribe to it at twit.tv/DKSH.
DKSH.
So thank you for being out on the floor. There'll be a lot to see with Kiki and the whole gang. Everything that we've done is still going up. Editors are still working, even though they don't have an aquarium.
There will be things posted to the RSS feeds for the next couple of days.
How many hours did you do today?
We got about 2 hours.
Wow.
Over an hour and a half of footage today.
Wow.
So that's going to be at least two RSS episodes, I think. And there's stuff from yesterday, the day before yesterday, our live coverage that we've done. All that has been recorded down, and we're cutting and chopping, and the editors are turning it into a beautiful summary of what we've done for you.
You can find all of that, all the content at twit.tv/CES. I'm Leo Laporte. We thank our sponsors once again for bringing us here, the great folks at Sync. Go to syncmyride.com to find out more. Audible.com/twit2 to get your two free books. I think those Daniel Suarez novels would be a pretty great way to do it. Yeah. They're coming up next.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
you're
my next
dig
listen.
That.
And, of course, to Citrix for GoToMeeting. Go to GoToMeeting.com/twit to learn more. We will be back tomorrow for those of you watching the live stream all day Sunday. I'm not done. I've got to do the Tech Guy radio show. And, you know, the fun part is to be here at the very end of CES when they start announcing, get your stuff and leave. And the big announce, it's really fun. And then you watch people run to the exits. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time. Another Twit is in the can.
Doing the Twit.
Doing the Twit.
Let's go round.